All right, so here's where we talk to you about embodiment. So who would like to speak, and who has a question or comment? Or
hello, Galexis. I don't think you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Try that.
Hello. Hello,
there
Galexis.
There you go.
Hello. I'm Kate, and it's a very nice pleasure to meet you, Galexis.
Well, thank you. And the pleasure is likewise.
Thank you. I have really enjoyed the discussion about embodiment, and really was touched by the description of our networking with our spiritual family. And
yes.
I thought, well, what a wonderful opportunity. I would ask if you would speak about my own spiritual family.
Oh, about your spiritual family.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a moment. We're just kind of tuning in to them. All right. Your particular spiritual family is kind of prominent on the planet. Well, it was more prominent, we would say, in the time known as Atlantis. And members of your family were very renowned for their statesmanship, which, of course, is degenerated into politics today. Politicians, you know. But they were statesmen then. They were, in a sense, political philosophers and architects of society, and also architects of buildings and structures, grand structures. And they liked cities. They liked urban, clean, pure, grand, glorious, artistically harmonious urban environments. And they were able to create those. And not to say that they didn't like nature too, but that was, in a sense, their gifts, their glories. It was a kind of an artistic gift, a sense of a natural understanding of how things are put together and how things are constructed. And you have that as well, don't you?
Clean, pure, artistic environment?
No, how things are constructed. No, the concept of and the philosophy of how things are put together and how to put things together in such a beautiful form.
I have grand visions of putting together systems for healing.
Yes.
That don't really speak to architecture, physical form per se, so much as generating healing environments,
right.
Partly the form, but more the
right.
Processes. Yeah.
Well, that's just it's kind of a natural gift, you might say, that is inherent in your spiritual family. Just having that sense of they have the vision of the greater structure of things, the philosophy and structure of things, and even the part that is form, the healing environment. That is just so much your spiritual family. They love environments that when a person is in there, their spirit and soul go into a harmony. There's a harmoniousness to it. So that's, we'd say that's, but they were mostly here during Atlantis. They also, smattering during some of the greater civilizations. They would come back during the greater civilizations in the heyday and to do grand buildings, and which is really hasn't been done in the last several hundred years. the concept of the grand, harmonious. The last one that they worked on was in probably in Greece, or something like that. It's your family is not that present on the physical plane at this time, but they have a few proponents, representatives such as yourself, who can come and bring a scope, a vision, a scope of dreams of how things work, and bring them in various arenas and to this plane. So.
Thank
All right.
You.
You're welcome. All right, another question?
Want to give it over to Peter, please?
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
It's Peter.
Hi.
I love what you said this morning about embodiment. And it's very confirming to a lot of the things that have been going on with me in this sort of period of transition for the last few months, of which I still feel I'm very much in. But what I wanted to talk about was dreaming, and that I seem to be either not the time for me to be dreaming a new vision for myself, or there's something that is sort of an inner wisdom that's saying that it's not appropriate for me to future trip or future plan at this time, because I find there's a great deal of hesitancy for me to be looking into what I want in the future or making even choices and decisions about my future.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm just wondering whether I'm just stuck at a point of being hesitant about it, or whether it is appropriate for me to, you know, continue to just sort of coast.
All right, well, you're not really coasting, but your perception of coasting, we would say, is a perception of you just kind of being here now and just kind of being with yourself. And we would say that this is really a very good place to be, because there's healing work that's being done.
Yeah.
You have some major healing work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some releasing of some pain on emotional, spiritual, some healing work, some restoring of balance to you. And it's in a sense, it's as if it's been a long time since you've been to a level of balance, or the opportunity to have a level of balance like you have right now.
Well, it feels like I'm on vacation, and that I'm
so... How does it get better than that?
I know. Well, I'm trying to do some of that.
But well,
it's sort of like I'm so used to doing that... The fact that I'm doing so little is sort of a tad disturbing to me.
Well, it's disorienting,
yeah.
Yes. Now, last night we talked about the pivotal point, and you're at a pivotal point too, where there is a part of you that has to come to a kind of closure or a stop before you can kind of really move forward and make that turn and into that new perception. So we wouldn't, if we were you, really rush moving into looking into new forms of things, to look at events and circumstances and physical activations, because the dreaming does come first. And you're coming to a closure of your healing, we sense shortly, and so then you'll go and do some dreaming, right? Now, in the meantime, what this gives you is a fantastic opportunity for you and your body to get really, really close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For you and your body to get into a really harmonious place. So that in that harmony, that the vision that emerges will have an integration of doing and being that is very balancing and very healing on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So you won't have to go through periods of stress and then escape. Now, a lot of people have situations in their lives where their work is stressful, whether it's exciting and glorious, but nevertheless, that's a kind of a stress. And the body has to sustain that stress and so on. And so then they need to go on the weekend and run away and escape and play in a different way. And generally, that's because the body just goes nuts sometimes. You know, it's like, get me out of here. I've got to go play, you see. And so this is a wonderful time for you and the body to get kind of linked up and balanced. You know, when a musician learns to play an instrument, you start with a scale, right? Something basic, you know. You find if you're a piano player, you learn how to finger a scale and you do your, you know, what is it? The Hannon exercises or whatever, and you learn how to do different types of movements and play scales up and play scales down so that you get all the finger movements. And you have to start slowly until you get it just right. And then you pick up speed until you can go flying up the keys and flying back down without making a mistake. And so in a sense, you're at that opportunity point where if you and your body get in sync together, and you step out slowly and play with it slowly. How does this work, body? Oh, okay. And body says, okay, and how does this work for you? Okay. All right, so we'll do a little more and do a little more. You can get the two of you in sync so that you can begin to pick up speed. And you'll find that your physical plane life can be an amazing amount of harmony. And it can have that function of flow. You see?
Yes.
Right? And that would be very valuable for you because you and your body have had certain periods of being at odds with each other, mm-hmm. and not understanding how to deal with the demands of your body and the body having a resistance to dealing with your demands of it. And so push, pull, tug, tug. And so there's a lot of people who are at war with their body or are dominating their body. So if your mind dominates your body so much, it becomes the ultimate S&M relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. Your body is your slave or you're the slave to your body or whatever. And it becomes distorted and there's conflict and there's just as if, you know, you're like an old married couple, you know, a little bickering here and there, you know. But there's a kind of a push-pull, a kind of tug, not quite in sync.
Right.
Right? So this is your opportunity because things are in a pivotal point that if you get in sync now, it can flow. And that's for every one of you. When you want to rework with your body, want to get into harmony with it, like what Peter's doing, you know, you might have to just spend some time doing not as much and not being as disturbed by it, but just listening to yourself, being with yourself, healing whatever has been gone down before. After all, you know, in your relationship with your body, how many promises have you broken to your body? You know? Okay, I'm going to go on that good diet. I'm going to give up smoking. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And how many times in the past did you break that? And how do you think your body felt about that? And the body says, oh, we're going to go exercise? Well, actually, the body doesn't really like repetitive exercise. The body likes movement, but it doesn't like exercise. So when you say exercise, on one hand, you could be beating the body up. On the other hand, if you move the body, if you let it dance, if you let it flow, have some good sex and so forth and so on, let the body move, sometimes that will be really good. But you want to listen to your body.
Mm-hmm. Well, since January, I started doing yoga pretty intensively.
Do you enjoy it?
I do enjoy it. I was really surprised. I even just canceled my gym membership because it was so much, it felt so much better. I had so much more flexibility.
Now, bodies can get into yoga sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all bodies. All right? Some bodies are like, you want me to put the foot there? You want me to put my head this way and twist that way? Okay, never mind. You know, but some bodies are like, oh, there's this level of connection between the physical and the mind. There's a level of integration of the self that happens.
Right.
And if you get into yoga correctly, you can experience this. It's a great high.
Well, I've never done any exercise where I've been so aware of what I'm doing with my body when I'm exercising. when I'm at the gym, I'm spacing out, or if I'm taking a
right,
aerobics
that's repetitive
class, I'm spacing
stuff,
out.
Yeah.
But in a yoga class, you've got to be so aware.
And you've got to breathe.
Yes, yeah.
You see? And the body likes that.
Yeah.
Because you're breathing, and you're holding a position, and you're moving just so.
Right.
And the body is being respected. So that kind of discipline, sometimes the body really can enjoy.
Yeah.
Not for everybody, but when you find something like that, you know, that's why yoga is such a big deal. I don't know if you notice everywhere on all the magazine stands and the Whole Foods and whatever, yoga, 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 yoga. You pick up an alternative or kind of more spiritually oriented newspaper. Yoga, yoga, yoga. Because yoga means to bind, to connect back. All right, and so that's yoga is a practice for people to connect back to source. It's really what it means is that the body and the mind are connecting, the self and the body are coming back into a union for a brief period of time. And sometimes when you let this carry over into your life, it's a profound impact. So we congratulate you on finding that. Mm-hmm.
Well, in addition to yoga, there's another sort of that I found that in the last few months, I've had more and more amazing experiences with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not sure what the connection is between the yoga and the sex, but...
Well, if you and your body are better connected, then you're going to get more pleasure out of it. It's going to, it's relaying to you sensory information. If you're learning how to pick it up, you see, in yoga, you have to listen to the body's sensory data.
Right.
The body says, don't go any further than that. Mm-hmm. Move this way. That's in balance. And you're really kind of getting proprioceptive information from your body. It's very basic reconnection and union time. And you breathe, that gets integrated. Now, you take this capacity of proprioception to really be connected to movement in your body and balance in your body. And you go to sex. Of course it's going to have a greater depth to it. Mm-hmm. Because look at it this way. You might have had sex almost the same way you went to the gym.
Right, I did.
You know? How many people have sex and they have fantasies going on? Are they with their body? Not always. So they have to have hard, heavy-duty, intense sex. So it kind of breaks through the kind of space-out barrier that they have with the fantasy that's going on. And kind of make it through. Oh, yeah. So if you have really, really heavy-duty, you know, intense, physical, almost violent sex, it makes it through. But, you know, the body ultimately doesn't really like it that way. It likes to be really aware of itself. Mm-hmm. And the more that you are aware of your body, the way it moves, how it feels, every movement that you make, the more integrity you have in your breathing, in your body, in the unity of yourself, of your spirit and body. Of course, every physical activity you do is going to have more harmony. It's going to have more pleasure inherently in it. You're going to feel more, gradually more comfortable, more easy in your body. So that's essentially what happened.
And what I find is the same way in it, like when I'm doing a yoga position, I know that I sort of need to relax into the pose, and there's mm-hmm. often a point where I'm sort of caught, where I'm still holding, there's still tension, there's still something. And I find the same thing happens in sex.
Exactly. Exactly. Tension in sex has been very overrated. But that's because your communication with your body has been so limited that you have to have that level of tension and stress to get to kind of break over the boundary. But the best sex is done with getting into total, complete relaxation in it. Mm-hmm. And most people are not trained for that. You have a whole industry pornographic industry, right, that promotes, for the most part, promotes an almost violent sex. And all of the fetishes and all of that little, all the additions and doodahs is because people are not really connected to their bodies. If you're really connected to the body, you can have sex with yourself and feel fantastic. If you can relax and relax into it and just flow with it and be present with your body, it's an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, and you can't get to feeling, what I found is that I can't get to feeling connected to the person I'm having sex with unless I'm feeling sort of safe and happy in my own body as well.
That's right. That's right. So it can open up a whole new realm of sexual pleasure for you that's balanced, you see, that opens you up and opens up yourself into, you go to a state of vulnerability, an exquisite state of vulnerability and relaxation and safety. And then you offer that to your partner. It can be a beautiful shared experience, especially if the two of you breathe together. Hence all the trainings in Asia of all the breathing and sexual postures and all the kundalini work and so on to gain just tremendous great pleasure is partly or mostly an integration of mind and body and being present with the body and really getting that sensual experience, which is part of the mission of what the body is providing for you and part of what you came for the physical plane for. All right.
Great. Well, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing then.
We think you're doing just fine.
Thank you.
The vision of the form, it will evolve. Okay. It will come when you're ready.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, who's next?
You.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
Hello. It's Rebecca.
Oh, hello.
I'm really happy to be here.
Good, good. We're glad you made it.
Yeah. So my question, I have a whole bunch of them that are kind of circling. But it has to do with, I think, my chakras, and it has to do with, how I'm relating with my daughter physically. I mean, physically we have a great relationship, but energetically, somehow I feel like, I don't know if it was from the pregnancy or the birth or something. I don't know. I feel like I'm out of my body. Like, or my chakras aren't quite connected in some way that I used to feel physically, like when I danced. And I just felt a lot more alive. And now it's like, I know I'm having issues with my adrenals and thyroid. But when I do the chakra, you know, like that one running energy from energy management, I can really feel connected. And then I pop back out of it again, you know. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I spend a lot of time like,
all right. Well, this is one of the things we noticed when we were working on you prior to the workshop is that your focus of energy is your daughter. Mm-hmm. You're not in your body. You're connecting to hers. Mm-hmm. And you gifted yourself to her. In a way, you sacrificed yourself to her. Mm-hmm. And so, in a way, you've depleted yourself unnecessarily. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, you need to be, you know, a selfish bitch or anything, you know. It's, you know, but you kind of, let's put it this way, you kind of played the service card a bit too heavy. All right? You're giving more than you need to her. And what that does is create an imbalance in your relationship. Mm-hmm. For you, you get depleted. Adrenals and thyroid. That means you're not focused on, okay, what do you love to do? You're focused on, how do I take care of her better? What does she want to do? How do we work with her? You see, there's a part of you that you just have given away to her that you need to take back to you. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, you may think, but that's being a good mother. No. You're overdoing your motherhood, right? What happens is that if you do that kind of almost a sacrificial energy to your child. You're basically, in a sense, martyring who you are to her. Mm-hmm. And what is she going, how is she going to respond now? This is a burden for her. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, here is this woman, this adult, this walking God, you know, because children think you're like, whoa, you know all these things. You know how to do stuff like laundry and whatnot. You know, you just, wow, this is amazing. And you just know how to function in this world. And I don't, you know. And so they're kind of amazed. But here you are, this intent, you love, but there's also a part of you that's living vicariously through her. You're looking to her smile to lighten yourself up. Use that kind of thing. And so she's feeling burdened and pressured to do and be for you what you need so that you can be you. You understand? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and she doesn't know how to deal with it. How old is she? She's only what?
Three.
Well, she doesn't really know how to deal with it yet. You know, at three, how can you carry an adult level burden? You just have no clue. So essentially, the way she has to deal with it is that she's getting the message that at some point, as soon as she's capable of it, she's going to have to grow up and make an agreement to take care of you. And she can make that as early as 4 or 5 years of age. And you don't want her to go there. It's not a healthy situation. Because what it means is that, you know, have you ever had a pet animal that, you know that pet animals will take on their owner's health problems? Mm-hmm. They'll take on their owner's issues. They will, in a sense, buffer their owner's emotional issues. Like, for example, there was a guy who had vision problems. He got a bird. And the bird took on vision problems and went blind, and the guy's eyes improved. The bird took it for him. It's a gift that many pet animals do. They will gift themselves in service to take on your loads out of love for you. Don't expect that of your child, though. Mm-hmm. All right? It's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. You did it out of love, so it's not like you're doing it out of any kind of, malicious kind of thing. You thought that was what was expected of you. But you might want to redefine your role as mother and get back into your body. Mm-hmm. And explore how you feel about things and what do you want to do about things. It's your time to do things you want to do. Right. You know, it's not like you're continuously having to, be on top of her every minute, you know. Mm-hmm. She's can walk about. Yeah, you can, you have to monitor. Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, she's talking to you now. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And, your job is not to be her educational institution 24/7. You're not there to make sure that she learns and she gets everything that every single thing that she needs. Children are inexhaustible. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You never, ever give children enough, in a sense. Uh-huh. Because they're so curious. They want to know about everything and they want to experience everything and so on. But you're giving her the message that for her, in a sense, to put all her attention into you. Mm-hmm. But she needs, as a child, also to pay attention to herself and her own thoughts. Right. And you need to pay attention to your own thoughts. If you'll do that, if you'll make sure that there's a certain period of time of the day that is your time, where you do whatever feels good for you, and you're connected with your body, and you're breathing with your body, and you're in your body, do something that's fun for you, your motivation, absolutely pure, clean motivation of yours, not out of doing good for the household, doing good for her, being the good person, doing something that needs to be done, doing selfless service, blah, 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 blah. You can destroy yourself with that way because you're giving too much. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of little things for myself, but I feel like whenever I have extra time, I try to work or I try to do something for the family.
Right.
I'm in some sort of time thing, you know, like limited.
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, but the thing is, we want to point out here just with your body, is that your thyroid is waiting for you to do something you want to do. Uh-huh. It's waiting for your motivation.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, okay, it's always their turn, you know? Okay, a little bit for me. Okay, oh, that was nice. Oh, okay. And you're off doing some more for everybody else again.
Uh-huh.
And it's not enough to nurture yourself. Uh-huh. You're not doing enough to nurture yourself. You will be able to tell the difference because you will be centered, you'll be clear, you'll be grounded. Right now, you're not grounded. You don't tend to be grounded. You tend to kind of, your energy field is flowing out there and wrapping around other people because you don't tend to have boundaries like most people. You understand that?
Yeah.
All right. And people who have very fluid boundaries, they really have to be centered within themselves because their essential nature is creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're a very creative person, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Your essential nature is creative. And if then your greatest creation is your child. You've lost connection with your vitality, with your motivational force, with your power inside you.
Right.
That's your adrenals.
That's what it felt like has been the struggle, because before that, you know, I always had all these creative projects going and I was always really into what I was doing, and then I shifted that. And I don't know if it was because I took on what I thought motherhood should be like.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your culture has a definition for you.
Right. And also I just loved her so much. I'd never experienced anything like that I just wanted to do everything I could. So, yeah, I feel like I overdid.
Yeah, you just went way too far. But, but you know, it was a wonderful experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
But recognize that she needs your balance point, too. She needs you to show her that you can love yourself and take care of yourself. Otherwise, she's going to grow up taking on the burden of you and everyone else, too. You don't want her to go there.
Right, I did that with my mom, so yeah.
Yeah, well, see, yeah, you did that agreement with your mom,
yeah.
And you took on your mom's stuff a bit.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So you don't want to carry that forth to your daughter, okay?
Right. Okay.
All right, so recognize that every time you do a fun, creative project for yourself, you're benefiting your family.
Okay. Now, is there something specific I can do with my chakras to help me?
When you get into your creative space,
uh-huh.
Your chakras just line right up. Boom.
Okay, great. Okay.
That's why creative people have to create. Duh. Because if they don't create, you know, their energy just starts dissipating.
Right. That's
and then you lose focus. You drift off. You're not wanting to be present because you don't have enough enthusiasm and passion for being in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you wander off. And of course, you can get creative up there. But if your mind is really creative, it'll drive your body nuts. You know, okay, we creative this and this and this and this. And the body says, okay. And you're all excited about this concept and this idea and so and so. And the body's like, oh, no, not another concept. I'm going to have to sit here. She's going to ignore me. You see, so you want to bring it down in your body and do something physical
mm-hmm.
in your creative process. And you'll find that every time while you're doing it and you're loving yourself and you're honoring who you are in your creative process, everything just lines up and you get clean and clear.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
And if you feel unclear or you feel that your chakras are woozy and not doing something and they're out of balance or whatever, you can always do any kind of chakra meditation. But your body would much prefer you do it the natural way.
Hmm.
Just by doing something juicy and creative that it can participate in. It's happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then when you do that, you template for your daughter that it's okay to do things that give you joy.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't have to take on everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you want her to be happy, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, dear one. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very good. Very good point we brought up there. All right. All right, who's next?
All right, let's bring it over to Elizabeth.
Hi, Alexis, it's Elizabeth. I have been really frustrated with my health, and I feel like I've just been experiencing one issue after the next. And as it relates to food, several years ago I learned that I had a carbohydrate sensitivity, that my adrenals were being depleted, so I changed my diet. I eat, you know, far less in the way of carbohydrates. Then I learned that my thyroid was low, and I learned that everything that I was eating on this low-carbohydrate diet, and also I have osteoporosis, and osteopenia, it depends on where I am in my body. So I was taking calcium, for example, but, you know, I got this list of things that inhibit the thyroid, and it was everything I was eating, from spinach to salmon to nuts, and it was like, man. And then I, you know, felt that I was sensitive to some foods, and I took a blood allergy test, and so that eliminated a whole bunch of more food. And, you know, I talked to the ETs recently, and they said, well, you can't eat meat anymore. And I'm just like, I would really like to say the F word right now. I mean, truly.
Like, absolutely.
I am down to, like, you know, so now I'm just kind of like, truly, just fuck it. I mean, I, you know, I got to eat something. And it's just, and on top of that, I have, you know, issues around food. It's kind of where I went when I was little. And
now, what did you do when you were little with food?
Well, sweets were the big deal for me. And then my mom was such a great cook, too, and so I really liked eating her food. And I oftentimes, it was kind of where I felt something that was, you know, sweet in my life, because it was challenging when I was growing up. And not a lot of sweetness in my household, so that's where I went. And then I was also restricted from eating it, and, you know, so that was
so it made it much more valuable.
More valuable, and anyway. So that's one part of it. And then I just, I have a infection in my right eye. It's a fungal infection. It's so much better, but I am up on 2 years, and it's still, it's, you know, we're on the home stretch here, but I work with Ted Wunderlich, and I've asked him, you know, repeatedly, what do you think this is emotionally? And we haven't, and he's so good at uncovering and articulating the emotional connection to the things that he's clearing. And this one has been more mysterious and also much more persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the osteoporosis. So, you know, would really, and oh, my body just all of a sudden is like, I'm itching everywhere. You know, I don't know what is going on, but I am, if I just itch one thing, it's like I, you know, would fear that it would, you know, it just, the itchiness just grows.
It will snowball, huh?
Snowball, and every part of me is kind of really sensitive right now. That just started, and
do you take some kind of multivitamin, mineral kind of thing?
I do.
All right. Are there B complex in there?
Yes.
All right. Well, like a lot of people who have issues with thyroid, you're sensitive to B complex. And that's synthetic B complex. You need
this
that.
This is organic.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organic liquid vitamin, but I'll look further.
All right. All right. Well, so you're reacting to the B complex. That
okay.
Itching is that the body doesn't know quite how to metabolize your B vitamins. It's a lot of B vitamins also are based on basically on yeast too. So you want to look out what are the source of the B vitamins. Because okay. some people are sensitive to the yeast aspect. We would say that you might be a bit sensitive to the yeast. But the issues that you're talking about here, all right, in the overall sense, is very similar thematically to what we were just talking about with Rebecca.
Okay.
And that is that you've been operating for so long on motivations that seem to be appropriate and proper and useful, but have a missing piece in there, that there's a part of you personally, the way you like to do things, something that you want to do that you haven't really developed quite. It's like you've paid a lot of attention to what to duty, to what you need to do, to carrying the loads of what you had to carry, to work, to manage your life, to get things going and so on. But we would suggest that, as we're seeing here, is that there's a, you know, in the bone category, well, your passion for life had to be put on a back burner. Are you aware of that? Just the passion of life, living life, just the joy of being physical. Did you have to put that on the back burner sometime?
Oh, yeah. Are you speaking of like there's a point in time when I had to do that, or?
Well, it's in general.
In general. In general.
Right. Well, what happens if you don't have a lot of passion for life and your body and you just don't just relish in being in your body and feeling your body and the passion of your body and just being alive and, wow, it's really great, and then you have things that you love to do as an expression of that. What happens is over time, as a habit, it depletes your hormones.
Okay.
All right? Are you taking any kind of hormonal replacement?
Some progesterone and estrogen cream.
All right.
Small amounts. And then a thyroid.
All right. Now, these are bioidenticals?
The estrogen and progesterone are, yes.
All right. Well, now you can work at it through nutrition. You know, nutrition is like medicine. And you can put in hormones. That's like medicine. You would need more hormones, actually. You would need okay. higher dosages. But if you have natural passion for life, you can go through the menopause, you can whatever, and you can, your hormones will stay up. You'll have enough hormones to maintain enthusiasm, to maintain that excitement and that joy, physical living. But what you had to do as your survival mechanism, actually, in your family, starting with your family, and then as you got into your adulthood, was that you had to, in a way, separate out from your body, and you had to focus on getting things done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When you did that, you lost some of the joy. You know, you lost the joy of that physicality. And your body then gets depleted. The energy just keeps draining out of it, and it doesn't get restored. It's the passion, the joy, the love of your body that restores your body. And so anytime you have health issues, the love of living, the love of life, the feeling of enjoyment of being in a physical embodiment, It was meant to be like that. Actually, that's what you intended. You came here, you were willing to go through all of this process to get into physical body because you had a sense of lust for physical life. You wanted to experience it. It was awesome. It was so cool. You know, you go back to your friends on the other side and you say, wow, this was just so cool. I felt this, and this felt like so, and so on. And they're going like, oh, well, you know, we're jealous, you know. Okay, well, come on in, and we'll all incarnate together, you know. So in a sense, it's a wonderful place to be, you know. Physicality is no bad, lowly, icky kind of thing. It's been made that way. But when you start to restore your joy of living and loving your body and listening to your body and you and your body exalting together, breathing together, integrating together, dancing, you could really use a little dancing.
Okay.
Moving, free movement, just dancing, put on some music and just let your body move, right? Kind of like some of those disco songs, let your body move, you know, kind of thing. So let your body move, you know, get into the feel of it and just exalt in physicality. Rev up some of that energetic passion that's underneath there. Because you had to, in a sense, for survival purposes, almost become the ice maiden. It was necessary for you. You didn't have much opportunity to live a zesty physical life, considering the family, the environment, the circumstances, and so on that presented themselves to you. So if the opportunity here is for you to add that kind of lustful, joyous energy back into you. And when you do that, you'll find that your hormones kind of rev up. You can give yourself more hormones. You can use foods as your medicine. And you can use nutrition as your medicine and so on. But what's happened for you is that all this sensitivity to food is your body basically telling you, listen, that's not the direction to go. See, if you felt your body's love for you and you felt your love for your body and you and your body were on the same page, you would not be sensitive to foods. You wouldn't be sensitive to chemicals in the environment. You wouldn't be sensitive loud noises, bright flashing lights, all those kinds of things that can overload sensory systems. You wouldn't have the same level of sensitivities to it. Now, we're not saying that you're environmentally sensitive, but food-wise, you wouldn't have the food sensitivities because you would have the hormones, you would have the enzymes, you would have all the necessary chemistry. The chemistry of your body is held together by love. Mm-hmm. When you're missing love, and wherever you stash your pain, now it could be emotional pain or even physical pain, wherever you stash your pain in your body is the place that you've chosen not to love. And if you open up love there, if you open up love, your body will start to function better. Now, sometimes when you take food as medicine, nutrition and hormones and things like that, all sorts of things to help your body, that is a indication on one level of caring for your body. And your body appreciates you're paying attention to it to a certain extent. It likes to be nurtured a little bit. But also, your body doesn't like diets. Have you noticed? No, nobody's noticed that one, have they? The body doesn't like to have foods taken from it. Now, the body wants you to listen to it to tell you exactly what it wants to eat. And it will tell you when you get your relationship with your body connected. We're going to do that later on. We're going to reconnect you with your body. We're going to get you back into a new contract, a new agreement, new arrangement. So your body doesn't trust you anymore. You've broken too many of your promises. You've done too many times you said, yeah, body, I really should take good care of you, but. Now, admittedly, this was when you were probably 14, you know, but your body remembers. You didn't take care of me. You went and you just overdid that. And you made me suffer. Your body remembers. If you ever drank alcohol and had a hangover, your body's pissed at you. Why'd you go and do that? First of all, you numbed me out. You overloaded all my sugar circuitry and blew out my brain. And then, in the morning, I feel like shit. This is not nice. You did not treat me well. All because you wanted to escape from some damn issue that I'm having to hold more of today. Now you dump more crap on me. I have to carry more burden for you today. So I'm just going to make you puke. There you go. You'll feel sorry. You did it to me. Right? So sometimes the body gets really rambunctious, rebellious, and gets really snippy at you. And your body really got annoyed at you. Now, all of you, your bodies had been annoyed at you at one point or another, and you know when it's annoyed at you. It's like, oh, gosh, do I feel sick today? You know? Your body's not happy with you. Right? And when your body's not happy, when it's not getting the love it wants, after a while, it carries too much, it will rebel. When you don't have enough passion for life, your body will have to borrow all your minerals from your bones. It'll have to force your motivation, and that wears down your adrenals. You'll feel yourself burdened and martyred to whatever work or family obligations that you've made, and your thyroid can go down. It can you have to deny your pleasures and so on. It can shut down your sexual area. For guys, you can get prostate issues because you had the shame and all the issues around being the man and so on are just too difficult. Okay, we just stash it in there, just numb it out. For women, you can just kind of put it into the breast, get some good lumps going, you know, just stash it in there. So you've got all sorts of juicy places in your body you can put crap. Or you can deplete your body. You can either deplete your body if you don't have passion in it, or if you have a certain amount of passion, but you have a lot of fighting and conflict, then you'll have more pain in your body. You don't want to be at war with your body any longer. And the issue that you've had, dear one, with food, that's your body really protesting. It's on a sit-down strike here. It's like, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to react to everything you force me to eat until you love me. It's kind of like a petulant child. You understand?
Yes.
All right? The thing is that if you will listen to your body, it will tell you exactly what food is correct for it. It will tell you, what's that?
No, pardon me, go ahead.
It will tell you precisely, okay, I need broccoli today. And you go, huh? Okay. So if you can, go fix some broccoli, you know? Okay. And it may only eat 2 or 3 bites and then say, okay, thank you. I'd like some ham. What? You know, it could act very strange. And when it starts to get that you're really listening to it, see, it's not going to, all the things that you normally like to eat as your comfort foods, your body's not going to ask for those. That's how you can tell that your body's asking for something it wants. It's not going to ask for that chocolate you love to have after dinner every night. It's not going to want that chocolate. You're going to want the chocolate. You're going to feel emotionally incomplete if you don't have that chocolate. But the body says, mm-mm, no, I don't want the chocolate. But, you know, if you give me a little bit of chicken fat, that'd be good. What? You know, if you can listen to it, it will seem weird at first. Really, we're serious about this. It can seem very strange. Once your body really gets it, you're seriously listening to it. It says, oh, great. And it can start to give you really clearer information, because at first you may not be as clean and clear. You may not be getting it quite right. But if you make the attempt to, the body will be so happy. And you'll find that you'll have probably a very good varied diet. You know, the channel went through this whole thing with food. Oh, I shouldn't eat this and I shouldn't eat that. And so finally she decided that everything was toxic, everything was bad, except, well, she should go on a severe vegan diet, right? she lost so much weight that her body fat index went so low that she lost fat out of her brain. She started just getting really loopy on her adrenals crashed. She had insomnia. It got worse and worse and worse. And she was there eating this vegan diet. And then she kept reading, oh, no, you shouldn't eat that. There's a controversy about that food. There's a controversy about that food. So finally she said, okay, I'm not going to eat any food where there's a controversy. She came up with one food she could eat. Raw organic almond butter. Nobody said anything bad about that. She couldn't find anybody who said, no, you should not eat that for this reason or that reason, with threats and fears of dire consequences to your body if you ate that. It's the only food she could find. The only one. So she was on almond butter for about 3 days or 4 days, and she said, well, this sucks. There's only so much almond butter you can eat. And so she had to open up her diet again. She's starting to listen to her body, and she's starting to be able to eat a few more things. You know, it's building. But it takes a bit of while to really heal the body. You understand?
Yes.
The body is an ongoing collaboration. But whatever you can do to create passion and enthusiasm for life, to exult in your physicality, just the opposite of what you've been taught to do in your culture. You know, like look at the status in your culture of people who do physical labor, quote unquote. They do physical stuff. They don't get as much money. Now, so, you know, there's a few people who are physical, do physical stuff, like a chiropractor who could make a good living. You know, but for the most part, physical work is considered, you can do that if you're stupid. If you're smart, though, you need to have a desk job, right? You need to have something where you use your mind and brain and make lots and lots of money. And everyone fell for it. Every one of you. And so when you do something physical, sometimes you feel that's not good enough. But the world needs people who can do beautiful carpentry and woodwork, you know? People need craftspeople, you know? Whatever. And if you are in a job where you really cannot do any work with your hands or do any kind of craft, you need some physical outlet. You need something that you can do with your body so you can move your body and balance it out with your sedentary lifestyles or with the driving, pushing, moving, hustling kind of situation that most of you have. So,
in regard to my eye and to the
eye. All right, to the eye, yes. Good. Okay. Fungus.
I think it, just to say too, Ted mm-hmm. thinks it's tied in with my liver and the acupuncturist I go to. I mentioned this to her, and so we've been working a lot on my liver. And
that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, there seems to be some sort of channel that's connected.
Oh, liver and eyes have always been connected.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have eye problems, a good chance that your liver is toxic. But there's a good chance in everybody that their liver is toxic in one way or another. Mm. If you happen to have parasites in your liver, you'll have all sorts of weird vision problems. Mm. There is a channel that goes there. If you have yeast infection at some point in your body, you can clean it out by doing your anti-candida stuff. You can do all that kind of fungal clean out and so on. But there will be pockets in your body where the fungus will stay. And one of the places where fungus will hang out will be in the liver. Mm-hmm. Okay? And in that, from that channel, it can come up to your eye. It's not usual that fungus hangs out in the eye, but a lot of people have chronic strep and staph infections in their eyes. A lot of people. Mm. And there's a kind of a modulation, a level, a vibrational level of organisms. You've got, You've got certain types of aberrant cells. You've got bacteria. You've got yeasts. You've got viruses. You've got strep and staph. You've got all these types of biological entities. And your body hosts them all. And dependent on what kind of emotional states you are and how you work your body chemistry, how you work your emotional body, you have a tendency towards more, one or more of these in certain places in your body, more active than in other people. So it's, you have a unique chemistry. Every person is unique. That's why the whole system of medicine where, okay, you have this problem, here's a drug for it, doesn't generally tend to work. It just kind of suppresses a symptom or it's a palliative or something. But it generally doesn't work long term. Fortunately, you're smart enough to know that you've got to work from another more organic or inner level. But now if you have a new arrangement with your body, you may want to just talk to your body about dissolving pain, about releasing the fungus. The fungus is an opportunistic organism. It is a organism that that blends easily with other organisms and generally comes as a fungus, candida, and yeast. All kind of come as a rage response. Now, rage is an energy of anger that is suppressed into powerlessness. That's one of the most common expressions. Sometimes rage is frozen, where you just, and we would say for you personally, that you found that you had to freeze yours. Because if you had let your energy, your hot energy out, it would have been damaging to you. Do you know what we're talking about? If you had been...
Well, I would have suffered repercussions.
Very strong repercussions.
Yes.
You had to be very self-controlled, you see. And so the more self-controlled you have to be under pressure, the more likely you're going to have rage, the more likely you're going to have, you know, things like yeast and candida and fungus, you see. So there's always these kinds of correlations. All right, so we sense that more cleaning in your liver, cleaning out rage, can help.
Okay. I actually been working on that.
Fantastic.
And
that will accelerate it some.
Okay.
And also talk to your body about it and say, you know, I'm getting the message, okay? You know, let's work together on this one. And you can also look out issues about eyes, you know, seeing the future. Seeing what you have to do. That you have a lot to do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're carrying a lot of stuff to do. And your that right eye has to do with, oh my gosh, look at how much I have to do. And not that everyone doesn't get at that point sometime in their life. But when you see that, there's a kind of a rage about it. Because a lot of what you see that you have to do is stuff that's beyond what you really want to do. It's like there's a lot of extra stuff, isn't there? Or does it feel that way for you? Is it fun stuff?
You know, in some ways I have so much freedom. In other ways, it doesn't feel that way. Some of what I have to do is taking care of my body. You know, it feels like I do a lot of stuff for it.
Yeah, and
listening, but you know,
if you're a slave to your body, you know, then your body, you know, like we said, an ultimate S&M relationship. Your body will become the master, and you'll become the slave.
That's right now.
And then how do you feel about that? You're going to be enraged, mm-hmm. because your body's got you over a barrel. You know, if your body doesn't function, you're screwed. So you'd better hop too when your body says, okay, you gotta do something. You know, I'm going to punish you if you don't. So if you have that kind of relationship, an antagonistic relationship with your body, you're going to have a lot more pain. You're going to have a lot more disturbing things that will tend to go on. And some of you who've in an antagonistic relationship with your body, you have like one thing after another. It's just as soon as you start to get a handle on one thing, here comes something else. And it can be a whole bunch of small things, or it could be big chunk things. You have so much creativity with how you do this. You and your body have such a capacity to have a really ongoing war. And you're not aware of it because you've tuned out the body. So you're not aware that this war is going on. And that, you know, or that you're playing this game with the body.
In regard to the osteoporosis,
yes.
Briefly there that you'd like to, I mean, I'm, you know, doing everything I can think of.
Right, that's hormones. You get more hormones, if you get more passion, your body will build itself.
Okay.
Your body's not building right now. It's kind of depleting itself.
Okay.
Because you're lacking hormones. The hormones, basically estrogen does the building.
Okay.
You know? And then there's progesterone can also do some, but the estrogen and the progesterone balance out the building and sloughing, building and sloughing. If you don't have enough hormone, though, you just keep sloughing. And that's part of the problem.
Okay.
All right. Now, sometimes bones, there's an emotional issue around osteoporosis, which is there's two things. One is that you're trying to keep your everything connected, keep everything together. It's as if, oh my gosh, if I don't just really work to keep everything connected, my life is going to fall apart. That can be one issue. Sometimes it's connecting family, staying connected to family. You know, okay, we've got to keep up the communication. We've got to keep up the links with each other. And whether the rest of the family's in that mood or not. And then there's also the burdens. And, dear one, you carry burdens beyond your own. You're carrying, you're a very high-level soul. And we've talked about this before. And you're carrying burdens that are not just yours, you're carrying society's burdens too. Now, you're doing it voluntarily. When you work on yourself, you're also working on your culture. You're creating a new way of being of possibility for everyone. But sometimes, if you and your body are not in a really harmonious relationship, it can become a burden energetically to you. So, and then osteoporosis can become that burden. You can see it almost represented in the physical posture of an older person who never did hormonal replacement, who had osteoporosis and shrunk down and all bent over. Looks like they're carrying a burden, doesn't it? Ever notice that? It's like, here's a heavy load. Dear ones, all of you, you don't know how heavy the loads are that you've been carrying. You really don't know. But when you and your body get coordinated about this, you can organize the release of those burdens. And that's part of what we want to do today. We want to do that because it's part of physical mastery. You're not going to be able to have the success, the healing, the incredible celebration that you want to have on this life until you and your body are on the same page and working together. That's why it's so imperative we're talking about this. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, one more. We appreciate these questions. We're getting some really wonderful information here from you, and we appreciate it. Yes, all right.
Okay, Galexis, this is Marilyn.
Hello.
Hi. So follow on from Elizabeth, basically.
Yes.
So I am at war with my body, mm-hmm. and have been for some time. And I guess my question has to do with the difference between a lot of the work that I've been doing and releasing and so forth to try to heal, my hips and different things that are going on. Our past emotional, you know, stuff.
Yes.
And what you talked about this morning had to do with, not releasing present, current stuff in
That's
an ongoing
right.
way. Mm-hmm. As well as, I know that I'm not I don't have, I'm not in partnership with my body particularly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can be from time to time. But
from time to time you are, yes.
Yeah.
And the body is really, your body's very surprised when that happens. It goes, oh, okay, but I don't trust her.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But, and so the body's got you over barrel, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. All right, you'd be sorry that you've done what you've done to me, blah, 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 you know. Yeah, so good. Yes, you're getting rid of old emotional debris. So what is it about the present? Is you feel that there's something there that you're not staying present?
Well, it seems like when I'm, you know, when I'm working with Ted and with different people to try to solve this hip issue, mm-hmm. that it seems to be anchored in the past, mm-hmm. you know, because this is where I put a lot of stuff. You know, growing up and, you know, and all the different things that I've done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another component that I'm not really tending to that keeps this, issue, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, that keeps this issue, I guess, in place and then new issues keep coming up? You know, like this parasite thing and then, you know, other digestive problems and, you know, it just seems like one thing after another, which is the war.
Right. It is the war. And we would say that's basically what's going on for you, is it's the war. And that sometimes you really think you're losing the war, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like the body's winning, but the body doesn't win. It's a Pyrrhic victory, as they call it, you know, that the body's being destroyed at the same time it's destroying you. You know, it's keeping you from being able to do what you want to do, which is maybe something that some of the things that the body doesn't want to do, but at the same time the body's suffering. And the thing is that the body doesn't know how to get out of this loop. Only you do. The body's going to keep doing it because it doesn't know what else to do. It's like the body always will function at the level of a child just because it's not that level of consciousness to be able to function like a mutual adult. You're working like with a beloved child. Not to condescend to it at all, but to work together with it. And it has tremendous power and strength. So in a sense, it's not like a human child. It doesn't have that frailty or whatever. But from an emotional sophistication point of view, it has none. It just gets on a habit, and it doesn't know what else to do. And so when you break the war and create a new contract, which is what we're going to do next, right? That's when you and your body can start to get on the same page, and you can start aligning yourself for success, for healing, and for the joy of living, which is what you all came here for. That was kind of the original idea. Well, of course, you're also coming to save the planet and everything too, but it just seemed like you couldn't seem to do it as long as you and your bodies were having this dissension. So we got to do it now. It's pivot time. And get you set up on a new track so that you can move forward with more speed and accelerate and utilize your time in a new kind of way. And so tomorrow we'll be working with that aspect of it. So we're going to take a break now, and thank you so much for your questions. We're going to take a break. It's going to be kind of short, 10 minutes, and we'll come back, and then we're going to do some work with changing your relationship with your body and getting on the same page, doing some healing of your relationship, okay? All right, so we'll see you shortly for a wonderful meditation. Farewell.